Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's For Women. You are not 9 to 5 and neither are we. Conveniently open online 365 days per year, 24 hours per day.
Now, Rex Ryan is director, playwright and actor, and he runs the Glass Mask Theatre, which is on Dublin's Dawson Street. There's a new play arriving there in November. Welcome to Studio Rex.
Thanks, Oliver.
And I know it puts to great pains for actors to come in early in the morning.
Yeah.
It's not your forte, the morning
hours. I was forced by your entire team. intimidated, actually, into coming in.
Good, good. That's the arts.
But I'm here now. I'm happy.
It's set in the Dole office on Parnell Street in Dublin and is called A Dole Wide World. Explain that now.
Yeah, The Dole Wide World, and explain what it's about.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Well,
it's an unusual title.
I think on a... In Glass Mask, it's an intimate space. So yeah. It's about 60 seats. The audience are on top of the action. So when I was thinking about this play, on a surface level, I simply wanted to make a thriller that would drag. The theatre does one thing extremely well, and it's dragging the audience into the action, making them complicit in it. So I thought, I've got this intimate space. I want to write a thriller and satisfy a childhood dream of essentially putting Dog Day Afternoon on stage, the Al Pacino movie. And on a deeper level, I thought that it was a play examining people on the fringes of society, the inadequacies of the mental health system, amongst many other things, and working class issues. But I, like very often is the case when you write a play, it sneaks up on you and the true meaning can surprise you. And I think I've only realised in the last couple of weeks working with the actors and the director that it's probably a play about forgiveness.
Okay.
But I didn't know that when I was writing it.
That
one of the
happen.
Characters has done something unforgivable, and I think I'm asking the audience, could you forgive them at the end of the play?
How do you involve the audience then throughout? What will they have to do?
Well, in our theatre, they won't have to do anything, I suppose, apart from be present.
Perfect, that's perfect.
They don't have to jump up on stage or anything.
I was worried for a moment there.
I mean,
people.
They could try. but I mean that it's such a tight space in there, and the play, it has many elements, but it is quite a confronting play, and it's intense, and it's visceral. And there's two savage actors in it who are very visceral performers. So I think... What I mean by that is that you should feel almost voyeuristic, and you'll be watching something you shouldn't be.
Intense. But that's what draws you to the theatre. So you get a load of people. They all have tables as well. And this is a nice atmosphere, the Glass Mask Theatre. Tell us about it and how that came about. Because it's on Dawson Street.
Yes.
And what was that? Was that a Bible shop at one stage or something?
Yeah, it's the former Bible Society of Ireland.
Yeah.
So God is literally in the building.
Yeah,
and then it changed from the Bible Society to the Bestseller Cafe, which was a wine bar. And long story short, because I've told this story a million times, but really it was an act of magic how I got the place. My beautiful wife was working there as a manager of the wine bar cafe, and it was run and still is run by a man called Ray Byrne. And Ray had read that I was looking to start a new writing theatre. That was always a mission of mine. And he said to my wife, why doesn't he do it here? And of course, this is an elegant Parisian wine bar on Dawson Street. I said, how on earth could you make a theatre here?
Where's the theatre?
Exactly. And it's in your mind and your heart. And I had been sitting there getting free dinners, unbeknownst to Ray, who's probably listening right now. And I'd been hanging with my wife. And it was one of those beautiful moments. I said, this is the spot. So... I started by doing a one-man show there. We did it in the middle of the floor. We put the seats around. People had a bit of cheese, bit of wine. And now 2 years on, we were named Theatre Company of the Year. And for the first time in the new year, we're Arts Council funded. So we're being backed as the premier new writing theatre in Ireland. Mm-hmm. And it really did start with a beetroot and a can of tuna and €0. Dole money, ironically. A lot of Dole money funded it. That was our Arts Council. Okay. And now it's really turned into, I think, an important place for theatre and non-theatre folk alike.
Yeah, there's a good energy about it.
There's a great energy.
Yeah.
There's a great energy in the place, and a lot of great people have helped build it.
Even the story that you're going in to meet, you were constantly going in there because there was a woman behind the counter that you wanted to chat to, and then suddenly your dinners were getting bigger and freer. It sounds like a schmaltzy play itself. the story behind the theatre.
As in the really the theatre is the just a byproduct of me trying to pick up my wife. Yeah. Well, and that would probably be absolutely true.
And that's Meagle.
That's Meagla.
Meagla.
She's been Meagla. Called everything, the poor woman.
I'm so sorry.
Meagla. But the best one we ever got in an email was Miguel.
Right, well, that's the worst.
And yeah, one email that just said, "Dear Michael." Someone just gave up and called her Michael.
Absolutely no effort. That was a bot for sure.
Yeah.
But now Mrs. Ryan.
And now, she's my wife for her sins.
You're very young. You got married very young.
Yeah, so I married Meagla about 2 months after I met her.
Go away.
Yeah, shotgun style. We had been, we'd been only seeing each other for really a few weeks. And then we were on this mad Eastern European trip, seeing theatre around Russia and all these different places. And I essentially proposed to her blind drunk in Moscow.
In vino veritas.
Yeah. And then I woke up the next day and decided it wasn't a giant mistake.
Oh, very good.
And followed through.
And that's how long ago?
7 years, I think.
Oh, very good.
7 years, yeah. I never thought I'd get married. It was never on the agenda for me.
When were you thinking that or why?
For my entire life. Since age 3, I'd say.
You announced to the family you will never marry.
Yeah, age 3, I stood up at the table and said,
dramatic.
This is a load of crap what I'm witnessing here and I'm never getting involved in it. I never thought that marriage was a thing for me. And then, of course, it sneaks up on you and you're utterly surprised by it.
Why did you decide to get married then? If you had this sort of lifelong feeling, this is a silly institution, what am I doing?
Well, I loved her and I couldn't help that. And maybe, the life that I'd chosen, I suppose, of being in the theatre is traditionally extremely unstable. So I'm riffing here, but maybe the traditional marriage, although I'm not a strictly religious person, maybe the ritual and the structure and all of those things was just something that gave a nice balance to my life as well.
This will be the stable bit.
This is the stable bit and everything else is unplanned and disastrous.
We can careen around the place.
But at least I can come home to my wife and she thinks that I'm not a complete dork.
And it's a modern family as well, isn't it? Because Meagle... God,
Michael, her name is.
Yeah, Michael is... That's terrible. Meagle, isn't it?
Meagle, yeah.
She's Lithuania. So
she's Lithuanian. Lithuanian name.
Yes, apologies, Meagle. Because Meagle had a child.
Yes.
A little girl already.
Yes. So she's my stepdaughter.
It's an awful term. Do you like that term, stepdad, stepdaughter? There's nothing else.
It hasn't really ever been a thing for us.
Oh, God, I'm going to create a problem now.
Yeah, you're just giving her a complex.
It feels like stepfather feels like someone's trod on something. That's why we need a new term on that.
Fake father, she likes. fake liar, she likes to use. Okay. No, we've never. She's like one of my best friends. That little girl. So we've never really had that chat. We're not a big one for labels in the family.
She was only 4.
Probably even younger than that. 3, perhaps. 3 or 4. But I clicked with her almost immediately. She's a magic person. She's brilliant. I've sort of ruined her a little bit too, though, with my own nerdiness. She's obsessed with anime and Japan and quite complex political anime cartoons. So she's quite alienated from all her mates now, but she has me.
The only stability.
Her only
you've
friend.
Created, yeah, you've
I've created a lack this of stability prison. Over there.
So you met in the play and everything like that. You're doing this. It's very much a do-it-yourself. If the work doesn't come, you do it yourself. You were literally on the dole? Is that the case at one stage?
Well, not really, but you know a lot of...
somebody's dole money went in.
Do you know a lot of... Yeah, because if I say anything, maybe I'll just get in loads of trouble regarding money I owe. But you know in the theatre, a lot of people are funded by the social welfare. It's a tough old gig. And for me, I think pretty much from day one, I have had the mentality of doing everything myself. And I was lucky enough to have some brilliant mentors, some legends of Irish theatre, like Tom Hickey and Carl Shields, they sort of taught me how to act. And the interesting thing I realised early on about people like Tom and Carl were that you would see them in movies like Batman. And of course, Tom might be known by a lot of your older listeners as Benji and the Reardons and things like that. But a lot of people don't know that Tom sort of had his own theatre company. He worked with Deirdre O'Connell and the Old Focus.
Yeah.
Carl had this magic theatre called Theatre Upstairs beside the Abbey, which was above a sort of mad David Lynchian style strip club slash Lanigan's pub. But when you walk through this door, Carl had this 20-seater theatre that did some of the most spectacular plays I've ever seen. And so I worked with Carl, and he would come from a shoot of a major movie and work with me, directing me in plays. And he'd bring the same passion that he had on the Steven Soderbergh movie that he would to directing me above the Lynchian strip club.
It's never done by halves.
Never done by halves. And that stuck with me a lot. And also maybe just the way that I am, I need to do everything myself.
I love your astonishing love of this whole craft.
Well, I had no interest in theatre. I just wanted to be in Reservoir Dogs 3.
And you had the name, Rex Ryan.
And I had the porn star name. But then through the course of meeting all these people and going to drama school, I fell in love with the theatre. So unwittingly, I've become this sort of spokesperson for getting young people into the theatre.
Good.
Which I don't enjoy, but it's been thrust upon me. But I do love it. I love the theatre.
Mostly young people that go to The Glass Mask then?
A load of young people, a load of non-theatre people, and one of my main issues, I love theatre, particularly Irish theatre, but one of my main issues with theatre when I first started was that it was just a load of white heads in the audience, grannies and granddads.
Yeah, they're welcome too, obviously.
They're not in glass mask. No, I'm joking, of course. They make the bulk of our audience.
But they do, and they're always theatre audience, but it has got much younger, the audiences I've noticed the last since
lockdown. Well, what I want is everyone to come to the theatre and to see that it doesn't have to be broccoli. It can be an absolutely visceral experience, as wild as your favourite concert, you know, and as touching as a great novel, and more active than going to a museum. But you just have to find different ways to pitch it to people.
What does making it now as an actor look like to you?
Making it.
Mm-hmm.
Making what?
Making it. You've made it as an actor. What does that look like to you?
Well, I'm pretty happy now. Like, the next play I'm doing is by one of my favourite writers, Stephen Jones. Then I'm doing a world premiere by Simon Stevens. I work with my friends in my own theatre, and I get people in who seem to love it. So I'd be happy with where I am now, and I'd also be happy with drinking tea with Tarantino in LA. But I'm pretty... I'm pretty happy,
in a happy place.
Where I'm at.
Yeah, you seem like you're in a happy place. We have a couple of messages here, but what we'll do is sit there for a minute and we'll take a quick break, get that out of the way, and we'll be back in a minute. 1 minute. 5-1, fair play to Rex, he's his own man. That could mean anything, really, but you are your own man.
I am.
I'm an avid theatre goer. I've seen almost every production in Glass Mask in the last 2 years. It's a unique place. The variety of plays is endless and the theatre never disappoints. That's from Marty.
Nice one.
You don't know Marty? He hasn't. He's
That's Marty Whelan.
Oh, yes, indeed, every time. It's the wine that draws me. And I love this message. Someone says, I'm not a stepdad. I'm a dad that stepped up.
Yes, I saw that in a T-shirt. So they didn't make that up. They robbed that.
I reckon if you said that at home, you would be horribly abused.
Yeah, I'd be bullied. But thank you for that. That's bolstering. I'm with them, whoever that is.
Now, Rex Ryan, we know you absolutely love acting and the whole craft. And it's in the family as well, isn't it? Were there Burkes who were costumers or something in the Olympia?
Yeah, my dad's mum's side were a bunch of vagabond, wild theatre people. And they infiltrated Irish theatre and then sort of took it over.
Right.
So, yeah, it is in the blood.
It explains an awful lot.
They were all quite elegant performers and used to wear leather trousers and things.
When it was elegant.
When it was elegant and pearls.
I bumped into your sister Lottie in the corridors, because we're in the crumbling corridors of RT.
Yeah.
And she told me that your sisters used to dress you in women's clothing growing up.
Still do.
This is the cause of a lot of it.
Can't see me now, but I'm in a frock.
It could pass as a frock coat, actually. Yeah,
I used to do, essentially, I suppose, time warps, Oliver, doesn't it? Or it bends. And I'm doing exactly what I did now back then. I used to set up a box I used to act as multiple characters and do shows for my family. And yeah, the girls used to dress me in these quite elegant gowns. So I don't know what Dr. Freud would think about that.
Mm-hmm. But you're still dressing up, so.
My dad did come home one day and said, "This is a disgrace." And he then dressed me up as this sort of English Bobby.
Oh, right.
Which is even more Freudian and weird.
Very confused kid. Another message. Rex is a strong force for Irish theatre. He mentored my son Ben, who just graduated from the Gaiety School of Acting, and he was inspirational. He deserves all the support he gets. By the way, I was brought to the Glass Mask by my son. I'm now a return visitor. Rock on, Rex.
That's brilliant.
Also the title of his forthcoming memoir.
I paid Ben to make that happen. Rock on, Rex, the memoir.
Lovely to hear Ryan, they're calling you now. Lovely to hear Ryan, you just go by surname. Talk so affectionately about Tom Hickey. Tom would be very proud of him and has always talked to me about Rex Ryan with great zest. That's from Michael Judd.
Oh, that's really nice.
You're in with the Loveys. You're in.
I'm in with the Loveys. Oh, Tom was a spectacular individual.
We're nearly out of time. Thank you for that. A Dull Wild World begins at the Last Mass Theatre in Dawson Street in Dublin, November 5th to the 23rd. Tickets are available at glassmasktheatre.com.
That's it. Yes, I encourage everyone to buy them immediately.
We're sold. Thank you for supporting Theatre Rex Ryan.
Thanks.
And now you can go back to your rehearsals and whatever actors do this time of the day.
This was a pleasure.